Thank you.
My name's Ted, and I'm an addict. This came mighty quick. I just started moving like 15 minutes ago. I'm not fully awake.
Good morning.
Good morning. It is. You know, when I was here last night and I seen his podium, strange. I was thinking of a grade B movie, you know, with the fire and everything. Well, honesty, open-mindedness, willingness. With those, we're well on our way. You know, that's three of them. How I look at them is that they kind of correlate to our first three steps, even though that, like, they apply for, you know, all the other steps. Where I'm going to go with it, don't have a clue. You know, I'm just going to, like, stand there and share my experience with them. And I'll start with honesty. You know, I feel the most important thing that I did with honesty is became honest with myself. You know, I had to recognize some things in myself that, you know, pertain to my recovery, my life, and what am I going to do about it? You know, and I think that's the hardest part is, remember when I first come in this time and, I'm sitting in the little nurse's office and she's on a computer and I could see she's counting. And she said to me, she says, "What could we do for you this time that we haven't did 21 times before?" You know, and, I told her nothing. I says, "You've always did your part. I've never did mine." And that was probably the most honest thing that I said to anybody in years. You know, and I felt it. I really did. And just like the theme of this thing is the journey continues. And that's for me where this journey eventually started. You know, I started doing things immediately that, you know, were pertinent to my recovery. You know, I took suggestions, a lot of suggestions. In the beginning, it's like from the detox, I went to a rehab. And the 21 times I was in detox before, by the time they, you know, was ready to discharge me and they started talking rehab, I already had my little story made up as to why I can't go, why I need to get out a couple of days early, and I'm trying to convince them. You know, this time around is, you know, I was open, you know, because I was hitting the end of my road. You know, I was down there probably the lowest I've ever been in my life, and I didn't want to dig anymore. You know, this had to open. And so one of the hardest things I did, and I didn't realize it because it started coming so simple, is asking for help, taking suggestions, you know, seeing that, like, somebody knew something more than I did. I come in with what I call the illusion of knowledge, you know, thinking that I knew something just because I've read extensively, a lot of books throughout my life, hundreds of self-help books, you know, 10 Easy Lessons to a Better Life, and, you know, Psycho-Cybernetics to help this and that and the other, and, you know, I thought I knew something, but didn't know how to apply it into my life. You know, I was open on one hand for the knowledge, but I never had the experience. I'm one of them people like that. If you give me a formula or a concept, I can kind of understand it. And, you know, for me, it's like knowledge plus experience over time gives me wisdom. You know, and, like, if that equation isn't proper, then I'm just deluding myself. Just like I know something. No, I don't. I don't know it. I need some help. Show me the way. That opens this up. You know, other than that, when I had that delusion or illusion of knowledge, I was closed off to what you had to say because I knew something. Didn't work out. He's something. Brooklyn is like, I got the phone call from him, and I where he got my name from, I don't know, but I'm glad I'm here. Thanks, Edgar. And that's always a good thing too, you know, that you know, I could come here and hang out and, you know, sort of suck all this in. And so far, it's been a real nice journey here. Even though I slept in the back of that truck, and my air mattress lost all its air, and before I knew it, I'm laying on the bed of the truck. But you know what I mean. I was looking at the stars last night. First time in years I was able to do that. Just lay down, look at the stars, and, you know, realize that, like, I'm part of all this. You know what I mean? I belong here. You know, that gives me a real good feeling. And that didn't happen throughout the course of my life. I wanted it. You know, I wanted something. I knew I was on a journey. I just did not know what to do. I needed you people. You know, I did. And it's a good feeling. You know, I didn't pre-plan. This is one of the few times, like, my sponsor used to tell me, he says, when you do a topic meeting, have notes, have a little format so you don't get so scattered. But this is one of the few times. I got a couple of notes in my pocket that I usually write to myself to pull out on occasion and, you know, look. But they're not pertinent to what I'm talking about today. You know, the willingness, you know, to me that was a big thing. I know I became willing only when the pain got great enough, only when I got beat down. And I can't look at that as a bad thing anymore. You know, if it took that to get me here, you know, I could say that it's a good thing. You know, but a lot of times, and we were just talking this morning, you know, I was out there for 45 years. And maybe even longer, because I did start sniffing glue when I was real young and everything. So, you know what I mean? Probably longer than 45 years. And this T-shirt I'm wearing, Western Penitentiary, I'm an alumni, you know. And it took all that to get me here, you know. But my thing is like, when I look around and I see so many young people here, you know, and I think, like, this is like NA of the future. You know, the young people here are our future. And a lot of times when I say, you know, how long I was out there, I think sometimes I'm given a mixed message, thinking it's like, well, he did it for 45 years, maybe I can. But I'm going to tell you how many people within that 45 years are no longer here. And I was telling a fellow this morning, I have a picture from 1974 that someone sent to me when I was in a penitentiary. And it had like 11 or 12 people on that picture. Nobody is here today. One person out of that whole picture found recovery, and he died in a motorcycle accident. But you know what I mean? I lost so many people along the way that it's, you know, it's sad. You know, that, you know, a lot of people had to die, you know, for me to, like, come to the realization, I'm still living, and what am I going to do with my life? You know? So it wasn't hard this time around for me to, you know, find some willingness to do what needed to be done to make my life a little more manageable. But, you know, to me, it's like just abstaining. See, I was around before. My first clean date was November the 11th, 1989. And I stayed clean for a few years. And that was it. I stayed clean for a few years. I didn't do what was suggested of me. But I learned some things. I learned that people here do stay clean and lead a very rewarding life. And I got a thing from Social Security yesterday that showed from 1964 to the present day what my earnings was. First of all, I don't have enough credits for them to give me $355 for my burial. From 64, there's a couple things. Nothing but a row of zeros. Then like $137. Nothing but a row of zeros until 1989 that I actually started making some money. And that was when I was in recovery. You know, and I was satisfied with that. I became employable. You know, I seen the rewards of this program, even though I wasn't a total participant. And needless to say, I went back out there for 11 more years, you know, until once again I became willing to come back in here and do what it takes to stay around. You know, their willingness, you know, I even looked it up in a dictionary and everything. You know, it's one of them terms, and, you know, what it said, I forget. You know, my memory isn't all that long, you know. But the thing is like, it pertains to our third step. And not only that, it's about a decision. And am I willing to make that decision? And a lot of people just say that, like, the third step's about going on with the rest of the steps part of it. You know, I don't half step anymore. You know, when I worked the second step, that was to me the mover and the shaker about opening this up a little bit and letting some light in, seeing who I am, my nature, how I look at the world, my perception of everything around me had to change. I used to play a victim role. I'm a product of my environment, victim of circumstances. And do you know what? Finding out who I am, I had to shed that. I had to shed a lot of masks, you know, for that little light to shine in on me. You know, I wore masks. I always wanted to belong, you know, to something to feel part of. And it took many faces to go through. When I was like 19, I was studying to be a monk, you know, a correspondence course with a monastery, and I thought that was the ticket. It wasn't. You know, I joined a biker gang to get that sense of belonging. That definitely wasn't me. You know, that had me doing things that, like, didn't fit well with myself. I didn't really feel a part of that. You know, the long hair, the hippie movement, the protesting, all the rad stuff. I didn't feel a part of that either. It's like everything that I tried to do to make me feel better about myself throughout the course of my life did not work. You know, this works. You know, I'm coming up on next month. I'll have 9 years. And I got to tell you, it's been the most productive time in my whole life. You know, I've never felt as good as I do, even though it's hard getting started in the morning, but I've never felt so good about my life, like I have a purpose in my life as I do right now. You know, drugs gave me a purpose. You know, it gave me a sense of feeling all right, feeling comfortable with the world. I can relate to people, you know. So what I did is I had people around me that did drugs. You know, I thought it gave me purpose. It made me feel good. Some of them drugs made me feel spiritual. But you know what I'm finding out? That's what I call now pseudo-spirituality. It's that feeling you get that tomorrow it's gone, you got to do it again. The spirituality and the purpose that I feel today, I can smile about something that happened 5 years ago, you know, that felt good then, and it still feels good now. You know, I don't have to chase after that feeling, because as long as I'm doing the right thing, those feelings come. I don't plan on it, I don't anticipate it, but I know that throughout the course of the day, throughout the course of the week, throughout the course of the months, this gets filled as long as I do what I'm supposed to do. You know, and I'm willing to go to those lengths. You know, I really am. By doing the commitments, doing the maintenance, you know, when I say my life has purpose, you know, my home group is called Living in Recovery. And it's not that like I picked that home group for that name, but that's what I feel like I'm doing. It's not like I go to meetings and then there's 23 other hours left. For the last 7 years, I've been a manager in a three-quarter house. And that's all I got to do is like wake up. And, you know, a friend of mine spoke last night about how his alarm clock tells him what to do, you know. And same thing. It's like when I wake up, I still do the same things I did right from the beginning. I woke up and I give thanks for not waking up drug sick. Do my little inhalers to wake up, go to the bathroom, look out the window, and where I live, I can look down over the hill, see the penitentiary, this one right here, you know, where I spent so much time, look over to the right, and I see where was my first rehab, where I got my first taste of recovery. And I tell myself, which way am I going today? That way or that way? Every day, I choose that way. You know, and then I go downstairs, and there I am, surrounded by people that are much younger than me and just starting this journey. And the thing is like, with some sense of purpose, we discuss things. It's not like I'm trying to slam dunk them into anything. It's one of them things, we're in here together to learn. You know, we have to keep an open mind. You know, we have to be willing to do the work. We got to be honest with ourselves. You know, is and I look back and I don't see really where I struggled. You know, I went through some changes throughout my recovery, but it just seems like to me struggling and suffering is optional. It's all the way I perceive things. You know, I had to go through operations, interferon. I'm still not 100%. I got a couple diseases working in me that prevents me from doing things that I really like to do. And I got to accept that stuff. I guess it's part of, like, the consequences of my lifestyle and the fact that I'm getting older. You know, I'll be 68 in November. And a lot of times when I look around, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt I'm the oldest one here. You know, and it just gives me a sense of purpose of like, you know what? You know, as you are, I was. As I am, you might be. You know what I mean? You know, the thing is like, I feel so good about what I'm doing, to be truthful with you. You know, and I do that with a sense of accomplishment that gives me some pride. Not that pride that I used to get stemming from my ego because of all the things I did negatively that, like, I used to brag about down the yard in the penitentiary. Big difference. You know, big difference. It's like on the total other end of the spectrum. You know, to go from there to here with the help of you people. And I'm done. Thanks.
All right.
Thanks, Ted. I'd like to introduce our second speaker, Jim T. from Hugs Not Drugs Group of Narcotics Anonymous in the Central Westmoreland area of NA.
My name's Jim and I am an addict.
Hi, Jim.
Thanks. Thanks a lot. Appreciate that. Oh. Welcome.
Good morning.
Thanks for your message. honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. First off, let me say this is a huge honor for me. I've heard some amazing messages come from this podium, and this retreat is so special to me. And this is emotional for me. This message was given to me, not by something that I deserved. There were some special men that God put in my life that gave this opportunity to me, that basically forced me to come up to this retreat, and I try to give that back to men that are just coming into this fellowship. So, you know, there's some men around this podium today that just stay here. Don't go anywhere. No matter what's happening, like this guy said, like, you don't have to struggle, like, that shit's optional. Just stay. It gets better. It gets better. It's my experience. That's this gentleman's experience. All I have is my story, so I'll do my best to share that with you. He basically told my story. It's the same, you know. I have just a little bit of differences. I lived a life. It was a little bit shorter, about 20 years of using small fraction. You know, the difference is of times is the drugs weren't that good back in our times. The reason that you can't use for those lengths of times today is because the drugs today are really, really good. You can't use for those lengths of time today because you will die. That's the difference. The drugs are so good today. If you think you can use for 20 years or 40 years, you won't. You will die. That's why all of these people today overdose so fast, because the drugs are so pure. That's the fact. You don't believe me? Go ask somebody that has a PhD. They will tell you the truth. I lived a lie. That's the honest truth. I lived in a state of self-deception. I couldn't get honest with myself. That's why it took me so long to get in here. It's because I couldn't get honest with myself. I lived in a state of believing my own bullshit. I lied to everybody for so long, I started to believe those lies. It was hard for me to get in here. It took an alignment of the stars for me to get a moment of clarity, just a specific moment of clarity, to get just a little bit of self-honesty to get me in here. And, you know, I've had many beautiful people in my life giving me moments of clarity that I just brushed off over the years. You know, where I would have these periods of abstinence in my life that I couldn't apply to my life because I didn't know how to apply, like this gentleman said, I didn't know how to apply these gifts that were given to me over the years, over this long period of time of using, where people would give me these opportunities to change that I just didn't know how to apply. And I would brush them off because I didn't know how to apply these gifts. And When this alignment of the stars finally happened for me, I finally quit pointing the finger of blame and realized that, like, I needed to change. For the first time, I realized that it wasn't John's fault, it wasn't my sponsor's fault, it wasn't my parents' fault for being assholes, it wasn't my teacher's fault for not teaching me properly. I finally realized, like, I had to be accountable for some of what's my part in this. So I started to look inward, and that's where this process started for me. Just a little bit of honesty. One little spark of honesty is where this thing started for me. And I didn't get clean there. That was November of 2004, and it took that little spark of honesty 10.5 weeks. You know, I would go 3 or 4 days and not use opiates and give in, and go 3 or 4 days and not use opiates and give in. And I did that for 10.5 weeks before I found rehab. And if any of you guys have used opiates, you know what that battle's like. It's rough. And by the end of that 10.5 weeks when I got into rehab, man, I was like this on my knees, like I was ready to surrender, because I, like, that physical abuse, like that same thing, man, when I get up in the morning, that same exact thing, I thank my higher power that I'm not in a prison where I'm dope sick. It's the same thing. I get up and I thank God that I'm free from that today. Like, that is our promise here. I'm free. I'm free from that. I'm totally free from that. Totally. I got up this morning. Man, I didn't spring out of bed. I would love to spring out of bed just one time, man. I creak. I'm like, oh, shit, man. I creak too, man. But I got up, man, totally free from that. Like, I can, like, keep water down. Like, that's a miracle. That's a miracle for me. I remember what I did last night. I still have some money in my pockets. Like, I think there's $34 in my savings account. Like, that stuff didn't happen. Like, I don't know if you guys even had savings account when you were using, like, that stuff didn't happen for me. And so from that little spark of honesty, I was able to get a little bit of open-minded. And I remember, like, the first open-mindedness, I was sitting in this office in Westmoreland County. I don't even know what this place is called. I won't even use their name. But I'm sitting in this office in another one of these county offices, another one. And this time was different, though. I was actually ready to receive help, not take help, because I've spent a lifetime of taking, to receive some help in my life. And this guy said, I had this idea in my head, like, I'm going to go do this 3-day rehab and I'm going to be good. Because I'd never been to a rehab before. I'd never been to a detox. You know, I had this idea, I'm going to go do this 3-day rehab detox thing and I'm going to be cured shit, right? So I'm sitting in this guy's chair and he says, oh, okay, we're going to send you for this 28-day program. And I, like, wanted to jump out of this chair and tell him he was crazy and four-letter MFM and all kinds of stuff. And I physically stuck my hands under my thighs and I stayed there and I said, okay. And, like, that was, like, my first physical act of open-mindedness for my recovery. And, like, that was another little piece, just a tiny little piece of action that I was able to apply in this process. And my disease was telling me, like, no, don't do it. Don't do it. You're crazy. What the hell are you doing? 28 days? You can't make 28 days. You know? And I went home and I was like, you know what? I don't want to continue shooting heroin in my arms. And I went home and I found an alternative to that. An alternative, so I didn't have to do that. Try to help ease the burden of that. And I did that. I went home and, because I had to wait 3 days for the van to get me. And I didn't want to continue to abuse myself. So I kind of eased the burden of that. And then I went, it was a Friday and they couldn't pick me up till Monday. And I went on a Monday. And it was way the hell out in the middle of Pennsylvania somewhere. It was March, cold as hell, trying to smoke in the cold. This is great. Detoxing. Oh, yeah. What the hell? Open-minded shit. I hated detox. I hated rehab. Like, I don't know if some of you guys liked it. Like, it sucked for me. But, like, something beautiful happened there. Like, this guy, like, I gotta say this, like, man, I was racist as hell before I found recovery. Like, racist. Like, not against blacks or anything like, I mean, racist. Like, if you weren't a German, like, I hated you. It didn't matter, it wasn't about skin color. Like, if you weren't straight up German, I hated you. You could be Italian if you weren't German, I hated you. Only because I was closed-minded. That's how closed-minded I was before Narcotics Anonymous was able to open my mind. And now, like, I will embrace anybody. If you can help me help myself spiritually, like, I love you. Because I don't want to die. I don't want to die stupid, ignorant. I don't want to die from my disease. Like, I don't want my mother to have to try to push the friggin' door open to get me out of an overdose. Like, I don't want to die a spiritual nightmare. Like, I want to leave here with a giant spirit. That's how I want to leave. That's how my higher power wants me to leave here. I don't know, this is an emotional place for me. They asked me what I was willing to do for my recovery when I got here. And that was harder for me because I was terrified that I was going to use again. Because I don't know how you guys use, but I'm a monster. Like, I'm a monster when I use. Like, I don't like drink a couple beers and smoke some pot. Like, I'm a monster when I use. Like, I hurt people, and I'm malicious when I use. I intentionally will hurt you, and that's how I use. And there were some beautiful men in my life. Let me back up before I go here. I wanted to say something about this rehab that I got sidetracked. In this detox, there was this man that came from Pittsburgh. And the reason I brought up racism was there was this black guy that came from Pittsburgh. And I got open-minded enough just a little bit to listen to this man. And he talked about a page in a basic text. It talks about the things that we do in active addiction to use. And there's a litany of things on this list. And I did all that stuff. And I told myself that I would never tell anybody about those things that I did in my active addiction. And this guy opened up, and I connected with this guy, this black man, spiritually. For the first time in my life, I connected with another man spiritually, a black man of all people, doing H&I. And I was like, okay, like whatever this Narcotics Anonymous shit is, like I want it, right there in detox. I never had a spiritual connection with another man in my entire life. I was in my early 30s, for crying out loud. Like, whatever this was, like, I needed more of this. This was my second day in detox. So, like, H&I, like, if you don't love it, you better love it. Get involved with it. Like H&I is where it's at. I wanted to go back to that real quick. Willingness, like, they asked me what I was willing to do for my recovery, and they told me to chase this thing like I chased my drug. And I don't know if I'll ever be able to chase this thing as hard as I chased my drug, because I used hard, man. I'm from the West Coast, and it's all methamphetamines out there, and it's all laid back, and everybody gets high on opiates and they're like, yeah, whatever, you know. Out there, it's like go, go, go. Like, everybody runs 23 hours a day. Well, actually, everybody gets high for 5 days and then sleeps for a day. And then gets up and runs for 6 days again and sleeps for a day, maybe. So it's a different world. So that's where I come from. And so it's a little bit different lifestyle. So I don't want to try to, like, chase my recovery like that. Like, I love my sleep. But I'm willing to, like, put some real effort in this shit. They told me to get a home group. Well, they told me in this rehab, like, go to 90 meetings in 90 days, go an hour early, stay an hour late, get a home group, get a sponsor. Like, they told me to do that stuff. So when I got home, I sat for the first day, and I was like, man, am I really want to do that shit? Do I really want to do that? And I said, what do I got to lose? What do I got to lose? So the next day, I went to my first meeting, Hugs Instead of Drugs, which is my home group today. Like, it's the best home group anywhere on the planet. Care what you say. Come check it out if you don't believe me. I don't know, I think we've been there in Greensburg for 26 years or something. I love it there, it's awesome. This guy over here, man, I had to beat that guy an hour and 45 minutes to make coffee. We would go back and forth. I don't even know if he remembers that shit. But we'd have to come. He would come an hour early. I would come an hour and 5 minutes early. He would come an hour and 10 minutes early just to make coffee because I wanted to make some damn coffee, you know what I mean? Because they told me the coffee guy don't get high. So, like, I was bound and determined not to get high because I was terrified I was going to get high, and they told me if I did this stuff, I wouldn't get high. They told me if I picked up cigarette butts, I wouldn't get high. And so I was, like, willing to do this stuff, and that's what I did. Early. They told me to do all this stuff. They told me to do step work. Doing step work. They told me to get a service position. They had me to the secretary's position. Oh, you're secretary. What? They said, read this. I said, what do you mean? I said, you're secretary. I said, well, I can't do that. You don't. They said, I don't care. You're secretary. So I said, okay. This happened to somebody right there. And then, because I struggle with this, I see a lot of new people around here. They're like, oh, just kind of lackadaisical attitude about recovery, and I never had that attitude about using, man. Like, if there was something new or something, if I wanted to get high, I'd do whatever it took. I jumped all hurdles. I did whatever was necessary to get high. So I need to apply that same attitude for my recovery. And I try to convey that to the newcomer. Like, if you want to recover, you have to be able to jump those hurdles. You have to, like, something gets in your way, move it or go around it if you want to recover. If not, like, it's just not going to fall out of the sky and land in your lap. Recovery isn't sexually transmitted. It doesn't happen by osmosis. Your mama can't give it to you. Like, you can't inherit it. Like, you have to work for it. That's been my experience. And he said it awesome. Like, it's an experience. Like, it happens over time. Like, it happens through experience. It's like, I've been through a lot of shit in recovery, man. I broke both of my legs and feet at the same time and did not use a narcotic over it. I ran for 2 weeks with broken legs and broken feet and did not use a narcotic over it. Like, that's the beauty of recovery and having a higher power in my life. Let me tell you, I prayed my ass off those 2 weeks. Because I was willing to stay connected. I don't know, this is a beautiful thing. I'll share this and then I'll shut up. Like, I'm so committed to this. I'll share this about how my week was this week. Because this is what Narcotics Anonymous has been able to allow me to do in my life today. When I got clean, I had a fifth grade education, and like today, like, I go to school at a really nice Catholic university. Like, I'm not Catholic at all, but I go to this really nice Catholic university, and I did finals at another Catholic university online, St. Leo University in Florida. I'm doing the finals for that university, and I started new classes for the university that I go to in Greensburg. So I'm doing two universities and getting ready for this retreat. I was able to get all that done and still be here yesterday by 3 o'clock and help 3 newcomers get here and still eat dinner and still be spiritual and be with my family. And I love you guys. Thanks.